It's an honor to be back with you and to be able to share God's word with you this morning, especially on this special day of Baptist Men's Day. And it was always a thrill for me when I was a pastor to observe this day as well and to celebrate really missions and all the work that our men do in the church and through the church. As I was thinking and praying about, as Pastor John called me and asked me to come and share today what the Lord would lay on my heart, he led me to this passage in 1 Corinthians 10. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 is where we're going to be at this morning. And really, it's answering the question of the why behind missions. Why do we do missions? Really, it's answering the question behind why do we do church? Why do we come to church? It's really answering the question behind, honestly, even why do we do life? What's it all about? What are we down here for? And what will we be doing for all eternity? And the Lord led me to this text in John chapter 10. Let me read, if I could, the few verses after 10. I know it was read earlier, but as we kind of begin here, read verses chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. So if you have your Bibles, follow along. It says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. May God add his blessing on his word. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you this morning that we can gather here in this place and make much of you. God, today is about you. This worship service is all about you. God, the reason we even exist is to glorify you in all that we say and do. Father, may you find our service, our time here, pleasing in your sight. For Father, it's all for you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here contained in this text, I think Paul is exhorting us to do all or to God be the glory. See, it's all about him. I want to try to simplify the message today to help you to remember it. And, most people that come to church when they hear the pastor preach, and I know y'all don't do this with Pastor John because he's such a better orator than I am, but I've got to use little tricks that you can remember it. Because the average parishioner, when they walk out the door, they say, what did the preacher talk about? They said, I'm not sure, but it sure was good. And I want you to go out the door with a little more than that this morning. So I'm going to use the acrostic of the word glory to talk about how we can glorify God. And what I did is I went through the whole New Testament, picking out passages of Scripture that really spoke to me. There's no way that we could look at every single one of them, but these are some of those that really stuck out to me and really gives us an idea. What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to live a life that glorifies him? And I believe we really can't start this unless we together believe that great is our God. So as we fill out the word glory, you may want to write it down. The first thing you're going to write down is great is our God. Now I know what you're thinking right now. He just said write that down. He doesn't really mean that. I don't have to do that. Yes, you do. Write that. Now unless you have a photographic memory. Now, I'm going to go ahead and let you use that this morning if you have it. I have a photographic memory, so I know what you're talking about. I just never get it developed. Some of y'all are going to get that later on, and you're going to enjoy that. I'm saying. But we need to begin with, great is our God. The psalmist said it best when he said, all the nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Let me ask you this morning, is your God great?
Amen.
Y'all don't seem too excited. Amen. Is your God great?
Amen.
Amen. And let me give you some passages to kind of light the fire this morning as we begin this message about great is our God. Samuel spoke about God in 1 Samuel 12. He says, "Fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." Think about what God's done in your life. 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, whom all things and for whom we exist." And it says, "One Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist." Great is our God. Colossians 1:16, the author there says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Truly great is our God. John said it in this way in John 1:3. It says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Wow. Hebrews, the author writes there in 1:3, he says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Truly great is our God. Well, if that's not enough for you, remember the names of God as you think about God and how great God is. For truly, our God is creator, sustainer, redeemer, is he not? He's Lord, eternal, and savior. He's healer, provider, and peace. He's master in the Most High. He is the Lord who saves, our refuge, and our shield. He is our fortress, our king, and our deliverer. Are you getting warmed up, church? He is our banner. He is the one who sanctifies. He's the light, our rock, our strength, and our friend. Amen. He is our righteous, our judge, our prince of peace, our counselor, and the one who is true. Oh, he's the almighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the great I am. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the good, the faithful. God is love. Great is our God. Amen? Amen, amen and amen. Well, we also see that in our acrostic, as we look as great as our God, and we establish that in our hearts, we move to the L. And the Bible talks about light. And it says for us, and it instructs us, as it does in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we often wonder why God charges us and challenges us to live out this life of faith here on this earth. What's that? We might be a light. And the truth is, in this text, Jesus and what he's saying when he tells us to let your light shine, the word shine there is in the imperative in the original text. That's not an option for us, church. That's not an option for the believers. As a matter of fact, if you're not letting your light shine, and even if you're hiding your light, it's disobedience. It's something that we need to do. What does that look like? Have you been exploring that? Have you been hanging around people that help you to lighten up a little bit? Y'all get that one later too. And we do need to. We need to be lights into this dark world. How many of us, even this past week, have complained how things are going in the nation, things are going in the government, things are going in our work or in relationships or anything else? And I want to hear to tell you that the answer is light. You see, the reason darkness seems to be pervading and availing and growing is that the reality check is darkness doesn't grow, light diminishes. You see, and if we become the light that we're supposed to be in a dark world, darkness can't hang out where light is. Think about this room, and we've talked about this before where we've shared about light, but we forget these simple principles. Yet Christ has called you to be a light. But if we turned all the lights off and blacked out all the windows and we said, well, how are you going to lighten this room up again? Well, I've even had a child of 5 years old say, turn on the light. I mean, it's that simple. Or bring a light source in. Think about this room. Each one of you who are believers, who trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to send all of these lights out into this community. I want to tell you, a light is a transformational agent. No matter where you go, no matter who you come in contact with, you're bringing about change unless you're hiding your light. And seeing it's a choice. And Jesus would tell us, don't hide your light. Let your light shine. He says, as a matter of fact, common sense would tell you, anyone whose light is lit, he says, you don't light it for no purpose at all. It serves a purpose. It has a distinct purpose to dissipate the darkness that's around it and to provide light for those and comfort for those who find themselves in its rest, in its peace, in its place. And so that's what God has called you to do. To be peacemakers into this lost and dying world. He sent you out as missionaries to be on mission. And truly, here's what we know. It brings him glory. It brings him glory. See, it's not about us. It's about him. And truly, we need to let our light shine. I really like this next point because I think it's one that we often forget. We know about it, but we forget about it. And I call it one voice. The O would stand for one voice. Listen to Romans 15:6, where Paul shared with the church there. He says, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also has accepted us to the glory of God. Do you realize when there's unity in the church, it brings glory to Christ? Do you realize when we're working together in one mind and one accord, that God can receive great glory? And no, he's not talking about an automobile there, that you should be in one accord. That no, it's more than that. Some of y'all don't understand. I'm talking about a Toyota. Never mind. I'm just... see, y'all are with me. Good for y'all. One voice. Do we speak as one voice? How can we do that except that Christ lives within us? The Holy Spirit brings about that unity and that koinonia, that fellowship that we might have. And yet we ought to have that as we bring that to the table, one voice, to glorify God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we do that. You know, it's a witness to the community when the church is in one mind and one accord. Matter of fact, the Bible gives us some very distinct promises to a church that would do that, that would act in one mind and one accord when they hold to that importance of that unity and fellowship and getting along. And I know y'all at Maharon, you don't have any problems like that. You never have, and you never will. I work with probably on the East Coast about 500 churches. You're not going to believe this. There's one or two that have some unity problems. Actually, I work with the convention over 4,500 churches. And there's a little more out there than you realize that have unity problems. I don't know about you. If you were the enemy and you were to come in, how would you disrupt the body of Christ? Bring disunity, getting them fighting against each other, not fighting against the devil. Right. And this goes also, church, for those who are not even believe even the same doctrine or creed, but yet hold to faith in Jesus Christ. Understand this. We're to be working with other denominations and churches. Do you understand that when you get to heaven, Southern Baptists are not going to be the only ones up there? Is that okay? Amen. I mean, I work for the Southern Baptist Convention, and I believe that. You might say, really? I said, yes, we're not going to be the only ones up there. There's going to be Methodists. There's going to be Presbyterian. There's going to be other evangelicals that believe in Jesus Christ. And the truth is, we all see through a glass dimly down here. And when we get there, we're going to go, man, why didn't somebody tell me? And I'm going to go, well, Terry tried, y'all, you know. But the importance here is to realize we need to guard our unity. I remember I used to tell my church that I pastor that. I said, you know what? I believe, I'm just crazy enough to believe if we can get that right, God can add to our number daily. To our number daily. And I've told y'all the story before, the miraculous thing that took place in a little mountain church that when I began pastoring there was only 50 people, went into a global ministry and saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved in 176 countries. And God started sending, allowing us to see people saved every single day for 9 solid years. Yes, God can do that kind of miracle. And he wants to use not just that one church that way, but every church that way. Folks, there's literally billions and billions of people that don't know Jesus. The majority of the world doesn't know Christ. Matter of fact, I've done the stats in this community and communities around up and down the East Coast. It's about average that 70% of any township doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've got a tremendous work to do. A tremendous work to do. How are we going to get this done? As we come together with one voice. As we glorify Him. We make much of Jesus and we prize that. And when we see skirmishes or division in the church, we're quick to snuff that out. We're quick. Church, that's what you do. I know your pastor does it, your deacons do it, your key leaders do it, but we need to do that too. We need to all be about that and guard that unity and then make it all about Him. Well, that's what this next point brings up. The R would stand for rejoicing. Rejoicing and praising and worshiping. 1 Chronicles 16 said it this way. It said, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord His glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. And it says, and bring an offering and come before Him and worship the Lord in splendor and in holiness. Why do we gather? It's due His name. Why do we come into this place? Well, we come here because, you know, they have a phenomenal preacher, and you do in Pastor John. You really do. But that isn't the reason you come here. You know, we come here because there's just some good folks there. Well, you know you do, but that isn't the reason you come here. We come here because, you know what? That music they do just really, man, I love it. No, that isn't the reason you come here. You know, sorry. we come here because this reason or that reason, the list goes on and on. You know what? There's one reason you come here. Because you know that you worship an audience of one. And if we bring up anything else for the reason why we gather, it's an audience of two or three or four. Be careful. Because we come here for one intent, one purpose. We gather to worship the Lord God Almighty. And I want to tell you something. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. He deserves that. He deserves that glory. He deserves us with one voice to praise Him and worship Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the God. I know it's easy for us to kind of get off task and to lose that agenda to bring other agendas into the mix. But folks, put that aside. Get back on track. You know what? That's your church growth program. Did you know that? I'm a church health specialist. Have been for over, 12 years working with churches and helping them to grow. And got certified in it and all that stuff. And I've learned that it's real easy to help a church grow. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll do what? Draw all men unto me. Wow, you mean it's that simple? Yeah, really is. Make more of Him, and He's going to make more of you. So you can go out and make more of Him. Now you contain it, try to bottle it, and keep it in this room and preserve it, that church will die. I'm working with hundreds and hundreds of churches that are dying. And it's because they turned inward. You turn back outward, you reach this community, God's going to bless you and He's going to grow you. Keep your eyes on the harvest field and you stay in the harvest field. For the laborers are few and God needs more. But see, that brings Him glory. But yet, when we gather, He says, rejoice and praise. And I like what He says. He says, bring an offering and come before Him. You know the reason we give offerings? Because He's due those offerings. And the work that He's doing. And I'm not talking about tithe. I'm not talking about tithing. And I know what you're thinking. Whew, thought He was going there. No, I'm not, because you know you already ought to be doing that. That's a given. I'm talking about offering. What offering did you bring to worship Him today? To glorify Him today? To say, to make much of Him? What kind of offering did you make today? You know, we don't think about that. In the Old Testament, they thought about it. I wonder why we stopped thinking about it in the New. You know? And yet, he goes on and He says, bring an offering and come before Him and worship. That's the reason we take up the collections during the service. It's part of worship. That's the reason we bring them to the altar, to offer them up to Him. See, some of these things we've done out of tradition, and we've kind of lost that, haven't we? Let's rekindle that. Let's understand why we're doing what we're doing. It has a purpose. It has an intent. It has a reason, because we're rejoicing, we're praising, and we're worshiping Him. Why do we dress up sometimes? Why do we, you know, because a lot of churches are taking this trend to go the opposite direction. He says, worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness. Well, we bring forth our best. And whatever your best is, bring it. Now, that may not be like the person beside you, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, and we've kind of lost that zeal, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's about what you wear that makes you a worshiper or not a worshiper, but it is the intention of your heart. It's about bringing your best when you come into this place. And I don't know about you growing up. My daddy was a preacher. And sometimes the worst drive of my life was from the house to the church on Sunday mornings. And I had three brothers. And you know, we never acted up. But just sometimes things would get a little out of hand in that car. And Daddy had to always go early because, you know, he was getting things set up for service. And he was in a growing, thriving church. And so Mama would have to wrangle all us. Well, I got a tough mama, I want to tell you. And and she would. And she threatened many times to pull over. I know they don't do that today because they do quiet time or what do they call it? Timeout time. Yeah. That's what my kids do. They do timeout. I never knew timeout. I knew backhand, forward hand, side hand. I never knew time. But it was a different day, you know. But I digest. Let me move forward. 2 Samuel 22 says, "For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nation, and sing praises to your name." We wonder why we sing. We wonder why we impart the word. We wonder why we do the things we do. It's all to glorify, praise, and honor Him. It's all about Him, and He is worthy of that praise. Well, that ends me with my last point this morning, which is the why. And the why is probably the most important, because it encompasses all of them, and it stands for you. You are to glorify God in your body. Well, before I expound on that, let me go back through just to make sure you have all of them. Great is our God would be the first G. The L would be light. The O would be one voice. The R would be rejoicing, and the Y would be you. You are to glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul makes this point known even before 1 Corinthians 10. And he says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Isn't it amazing as we live our lives as a Christian, and as we live out these precepts and these commands and these things that God has taught us to do and to be about, we put a value on that price by the life we live. Did you realize that? And we need to be honest with that. And we need to take a notion of that, that you've been bought with a price. Let me ask you, how much was the price paid for your salvation? How much is that worth to you? I don't know about you, it didn't just pay a lifetime debt, it paid an eternal debt. So you're not going to go up to heaven and spend a lifetime. Have y'all figured that out? What would room and board in heaven run you for about a week? It's got streets of gold. I'm saying it's a pretty nice place, you know. Could we even afford such a place? But yet everybody wants to go there. But nobody wants to live down here like they'd ever spend any time up there. That makes no sense. Do we really want to go there? Do you really want to spend time with Him? Well, I believe it will become reflective in the things that we do down here, the activity that we're involved down here, that we'll have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of perspective, that we'll begin worshiping Him down here. And not just in some things, but in everything. Not just in, because here's the way I like to look at it. I was talking to a preacher this week, and he said, "You know, that's a good thought. I need to remember that." But this is what I said to him. I said, "You know, how many things do we do down here on this earth that are not going to make the cut that we'll do up there?" that you know for a fact are not going to be allowed into heaven, but you know, you go, well, it isn't bad. It's kind of like eating cardboard. It won't hurt you. You know, it's not really good for you, but it won't really hurt you. But I don't know about you. I don't think we're going to eat cardboard in heaven. So stop doing it down here, if you know what I mean. And there's only you can lay these things on the table. Only you can be, I can't judge. Even the Bible even tells me not the judge, and I'm not here to judge, but you need to judge, though. Why? What's at stake? What's on the line here? His glory. His glory. I don't know why we made it so much about us and think that it's about us that's on the table or that's being evaluated. No, it has absolutely nothing to do with us. And when you get to heaven, it'll have nothing to do with you then. It's going to be all about Him. Are you going to glorify Him then? Will you show up to the worship service in heaven? I hate to tell you this. You're going to enter into a worship service in heaven that's never going to end. I normally don't get amens on that because everybody's starting to look at their watch and they're going, uh-oh. I think he's bumping for another 5 minutes, but no, I mean, think about that. And should this worship service end? It's kind of like Paul said, pray without ceasing. Should our prayer ever end? I know we say amen, and that just, you know, that has a certain meaning, but it's not a period to a prayer. You never disconnect from God. You grab onto Him and never let go. You worship Him, you praise Him, you glorify Him, and you never stop it in every single activity. One of the places, and I can't think of the exact reference, but it says, take every thought captive. Every thought captive for Him. Put on the mind of Christ in everything that we do and say. You might say, how can I do this? How can I do all of these things? Well, you can do all things through Jesus. I hope you're coming to the resolve like I came to the resolve, even writing this message that, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not doing this. I'm not practicing this the way I should. What do I do, Lord? And he brought to memory Philippians 4:13, and it says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Lean in. I mean, get close. If you're close, get closer. Are you satisfied with your relationship with Jesus this morning? I want to tell you something. I'm not. You might say, Chuck, really? You're in full-time ministry. I don't know about you. The closer I get, the farther I realize I'm away. And it's never going to, and I should never be satisfied until that one day He says, okay, you're done. Come on home. And I want Him to one day, as I enter in that gate, He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And one day all of us will transition from this life to the next. What's He going to say? Well, only you can answer that. And it begins this morning as we turn our attention to an invitation. Do you know Him? And I'm talking experientially know Him. Have you trusted your heart and life to Jesus Christ? I'm not asking the question, have you said this sinner's prayer? And even though I think that's important to call upon the name of the Lord, there is a time of turning, a time of being born again. But no, I'm asking for more than that. He's going to say to many on that day, depart from me, you doers of lawlessness. I never knew you. And they're going to go, but Lord, Lord, did we not do all of these things? Weren't we involved in church? Weren't we a member of a church? And didn't we do the things that society said would make us sure that we're going to get into heaven? And He's going to go, I never knew you. And church, listen to me. If you don't hear anything I else say today, make sure before you leave this room, you know Him. You're in a personal relationship with Him. And it's a real relationship. And you might say, I'm just having a hard time getting there or getting that or living that. Well, here's the cool thing about it. I know you have a pastor that makes disciples. You have a director of missions that makes disciples. You have deacons that are making disciples and living this out. Now, are they perfect? No. Are any of us? No. But we're on a journey and we're here to help each other to do that. And that's what the church does. When one slips, we reach down and grab them and we help them on this journey. Why? I might slip next, so help me. You know, and then that we help each other on this journey to fulfill this call. And then we know that, we keep pointing each other back to Christ to encourage each one another, build each other up, fulfill this mission, bring as many people as we can down here with us, and let's go to heaven. You know, he said, when we finally have reached all the nations, we get to go home. Are you ready? Wouldn't it be cool if that today was the day? Or would you leave something behind? Would you mourn the loss of this place? I mourn no loss of this world, because I know I'd be gaining him in his fullness. One day we will cross to the other side. Do you know him? You got to answer that this morning. I'll be up front to receive, to pray with you, in however the Lord leads. But let me ask you also, as a second part of this invitation, are you doing all for his glory? See, only you can answer that too as well. I know you can't take that journey alone. That's the reason Jesus told us, you know, salvation is free, but Billy Graham said, discipleship will cost you everything. Well, didn't Jesus say the same thing? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me. You know, it's going to cost you everything to live this life out on this earth, and just realize that. But it's okay. Here's one thing I know, church. He's got a better life in store for us on this earth and for all eternity, not just for a lifetime. I believe with that with my whole heart. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. You might say, well, Chuck, there's not a better choice. I understand that, but I'm not deciding between heaven or hell. I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's a big difference, folks. Make sure you've made that difference. Are you doing all for his glory? This invitation is for you too. As well. The altar is going to be open in a few minutes. I'll be here to receive, to pray. Others, deacons and Terry's here, and others will be here if you need somebody to pray with. Or maybe you just want to turn to somebody that you know that's living this life out, that you respect, and say, just pray with me. Help me on this journey. Would you? Could we walk a little closer? Folks, that's what church is about. I don't know why we come to this building, we act all unified, and then we go out, and then we don't think about each other until we come back again next Sunday. Folks, we need to be doing life together that we might impact the lives of the 70% that don't have a clue what's going on in here, or the Lord God that I spoke about earlier that's a great God that we need to tell them all about. Are you ready, church? So as Lord speaks to you, our hymn of invitation is listed there at 363. Would you stand? And as the Lord leads, I invite you to come.